Today on the App Podcast, I'm joined by the South Shirai family member, Mr. Randall Walter, as we break down the Raptors and Cavs post-game episode. This is something that I usually like to do every single time the Raptors make the playoffs, but it's been a few years since I've done it, so pardon me if I'm a little rusty, all right? Don't judge me. But we're breaking everything down in terms of the guard play. What in the hell is going on with Brandon Ingram? What's the forecast for Game 3? Much, much more. Please lock in and stay tuned for this one, man. It's always fun when I do these episodes, man. So I appreciate you in advance for tuning in and listening and watching. It'll be on YouTube if you want to watch it at around noon. All right. South Shirai, as always, is available wherever you get your podcasts. Hit me with the 5 stars, please, and thank you. Don't hesitate. Don't stutter. Just get to the 5. Get to the 5. Get to the 5. Thank you. Hit the like and subscribe buttons as always. Make sure you go to the catalog over at SouthShoreAv.com. If you are a fan of some of these TV shows like Daredevil, stay tuned for the information I have towards the end of the podcast, all right? And like I said, there's some more projects and episodes that are in the works that are coming. I'm very excited for 2026, man. Let me tell you, even though in the real life it's looking kind of crazy right now, like really crazy. You know, we'll probably get into that later as well. Hopefully this is as crazy as it gets, but I have a feeling I might be off on that one. But with that said, I'm hoping I'm bringing some light, some levity, and some fun to your ears and to your eyes until further notice. Appreciate you for tuning in as always. Let's get right down to it. It's the App Podcast of Cal C on South Shirai Radio. So just remember, there's no edits on this. This is just live. Well, it's pre-recorded, but it's no edits. It's our live reactions to the game. All right? So if you saw the game, well, you can imagine our energy.
Welcome to the App Podcast with Cal C on South Shirai Radio.
Welcome to the post game pod of the Raptors Cavs series. We haven't done this in what, 4 years? It's been a minute since we've been doing these post game ones, because that's the last time the Raptors have done it. I try to be loyal to the home team, so every time the Raptors make the playoffs, I'd like to try to go and honor them by doing at least a post game pod each and every year for the games that we can get to do them on. And you know, the way this is laying out right now, boy, I mean, this we might not be putting out too much episodes if this energy keeps up. But with that said, I am joined by South Shirai family member. This man is on the board member of the Light Skin Delegation, and he's the founder of Red Rush Ontario's basketball program. Please welcome Mr. Randall Walter to the show. How you doing today, sir?
It's a hard era to be a Toronto sports fan. Hard era.
Yeah, it's like the hopes and dreams is like that airplane on your head. It's flying away.
At least the Habs are in the playoffs.
Shoot, might have to do some of those to circumvent these ones. My God, what was your thoughts on tonight's game, man?
Well, I think, you know, it was better than the first one. Started off rough, but I like the way that they fought. I like the pace. Just so much to little intricacies to dive into, right? But the glaring hole is we need guard play. Their guard play is just superior than ours, right? And we don't have any guard play. Yeah. And God bless Shed, man. He was hanging on with a thread, but you know, he's a change of pace guard coming, you know, off the bench. He's not someone that can stop like those two, like that, you know, that double-head snake. You know, you got those two guys. You know, we were just talking about Harden. Wasn't it you that said that Harden was shit?
Yeah, I said I don't trust him in the playoffs, but on a level like this, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you know what? It's with Harden. I mean, look, Harden, when he's never been a good playoff performer, but in series like this, in the first round, when it's
the talent is inferior to him, at least he goes off. He goes off. But I mean, this isn't his team anymore. Obviously, this isn't the Houston days, of course, but I mean, he still has something in the tank. And I mean, when he's being guarded by guys that shouldn't be guarding him, really and truly, it's going to look like this a lot of times. It's going to look easy.
He will. Right. And, you know, he alleviates pressure off of Spider. Spider alleviates pressure off of him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, outside of the Raptors, they had no shooting. They just need a point guard, right? You can't have Shed was turned on the bar left, right, and center. RJ would just put his head down and go fast down the court to try to create something. But even in that, like, they're not even keeping up and running lanes, so there's no spacing on the court. Kind of was a jumble at times. And, you know, part of me thinks, you know, is Darko done after the season? I think Darko's over his head.
He might have a season left, if that. I think he has a season left. Because you know what it is? And you've seen this throughout basketball history. He's one of those coaches that, like, they're at a certain level, especially when they're not good and they're trying to get back to respectability and trying to get the wins and hopefully make the playoffs. He's that kind of coach, the motivator, the guy that has high energy. And, I don't know if he's great with X's and O's, but he's great with energy and hyping his team up. And he's the hype person. He's very intense. I like him for that a lot. But then as you get to, like, you know, second round, conference finals, flirting with the finals.
Nah.
Is he that type of coach that's going to take you there?
Nah.
Probably not. No. You know what I mean? I don't fault him for that. It's his first head coaching job, so we don't know if he grows into that role later in the future. But I don't, at least right now, with the way the team structure, I don't see that for him.
I don't see it. I don't see any, like, you know, at least, and I mean, I've never been a huge Nurse fan, right? But at least there was some type of strategy. Kind of reinvented it. You know, he had his own kind of, you know, method to his madness, and there was some type of game plan. Like, I thought he was Darko was good at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, like, but at the beginning of the season, like, yeah. I felt like he, like, you know, the first quarter, I felt like he was, there was some type of identity switch with the Raptors, right? Change of pace, a lot of driving, get into the paint and kickouts, a lot of get actions, right? Like, coming off of, you know, using their bigs to create, you know, space and offense. Aggressive on ball D, right? Pushing the corners. A lot of good stuff I saw that I was, like, impressed with, but it got stale. Like, nothing, there was no kind of counteractions or, okay, look, when we got this lineup, we're going to run it like this. I just feel like he's throwing things at a wall, hoping something's going to stick, right? The best thing he did today was sit total down and have CMB play most of the game, because just the speed of CMB on the court was a mismatch, right? But outside of that, I mean, I didn't see anything special. Maybe, you know what? Even Nurse would throw some zones at them. You know, like, just throw something at them.
Mix it up.
Yeah, like, yeah. Some pressing, some zone. Like, we didn't see anything that was, like, for the playoffs, like, you know, didn't do anything that I thought was, come on, like, pick it up, outside of hustle and energy. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. You can tell me if you saw something.
Well, it's interesting because you said about, like, aggressive on-ball defense and stuff. Because, I mean, the last couple of years, especially since he's been coaching, I think the one thing that the city appreciates especially is how hard they play, right? They play really hard. They're really aggressive. You know what I mean? They're, like, they never say die. They have that kind of attitude. But to maintain that energy through the playoffs, too, you know what I mean? It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to be that. It's almost like that, you know, it's high school defense and it's 94 feet and it's raw all the time like that. And I'm not comparing them to high school team. But I'm saying, like, that it's that kind of energy that they're carrying throughout the year. But when it gets to the playoffs now, number one, pretty much every team you meet is going to be good. And considering the Raptors were the fifth seed, any of the matchups they had, you know, going above this, it's going to be a good team. I mean, you even saw last night with Orlando, what they did to Detroit. Coming into the season, Orlando, I mean, a lot of people, myself included, had them as a top three team. Injuries, the fallout, the team dynamic between the coach and some of their best players, you know, made them falter a little bit. But what they did to Detroit last night was that's the team that we expected, right? Because they have that kind of level. Mm-hmm. But Toronto, it's like you have to step it up a level. Like I'm talking in terms of energy, you know what I mean? And I felt like the Cavs they executed well, pretty easily, you know what I mean? In a lot of aspects. A few things. Like, the number one, the Raptors work too hard to score. Man, I feel like I've been saying that for the last 10 years. Yeah. They work too hard to score. You know what I mean? And usually that's not a recipe for success. Mm-hmm. Even though the score is closer, you know what I mean? They did play better. You answer this question for me. Did it feel like the Raptors had a shot of winning this game?
Never.
Even when they got it to as close as 6 points?
Never. Never. Never.
No.
Nope. Never. Because the problem is, you know, playoffs is a different type of beast. I mean, you know this, right? Like, it's more grindhouse. It's more matchup based. It's more showcase for the stars to really shine and take a load, right? We don't have a star. We talked about this how many times, right? This year, even last year, you know, and
I'm not last week.
Yeah, last week we talked about it. I mean, look, Scotty. If Scotty has to score 25 a night, that's gonna be a tough night for us, because that's not his game. His game is 25 as complimentary player. He played well. He played. He attacked the rim. You know, with some type of purpose. I like the fact he was crashing boards. He did all he can do, yeah. You know. But again, last game after the first game, Ingram, you know, was talking in the post game. Everybody's like, "Shut the fuck up!" You don't want to know why? Because he's talking shit, right? Last game, he said, "What he said? Oh, it's not, you know, finishing with just nine field goal attempts is not going to help us win a playoff game, right?" Well, you know, you got to do more. So I thought there, you know, even if they say he's injured or whatnot, you know, three for 15, right? 3 for 15, see?
I know.
Oh, man. Like, and that's the other part is he's occupied, like, you know, there's no
strategy. He was 0 for 6 in the first half, too.
Right. And there's no, and he's going to now say it's his thumb, you know, something about an injury, right? You know, there's no space for him to occupy it. Because Barrett runs in the same space, you know, Scotty runs in the same space, CMB occupies the same space. So it's all clogged up in there. And
he's outside a little bit, but kind of occupies a little bit some of the same spaces.
Well, I mean, in this game, they used him, you know, they saw an opportunity to use him as a screener, as well as like a decoy, right? So it kind of helped at times when he was out on the floor. And I don't know. I know it looked ailing to me, right? But it's hard to watch that, even with him coming off, you know, kind of off screens and kind of picking pops almost, like, you know, screening on ball and popping or, you know, lifting. I didn't really see him do anything with that because he's outside of his element on the three-point line. And all he's doing is backing guys down into occupying space the other guys are in. So there was a few times he did that, and it was good because he was able to dump it down to CMB inside. But we need someone to put the, you know, to score. And if, you know, Barrett, you know, for what he is, you know, everyone's. You know, let me ask you this: I was watching a lot of Barrett today. Does Barrett play like a white boy to you?
What do you mean? Elaborate.
Like, does he have? No offense, but does he have like a white boy game? Like he's not really fluid. He doesn't really have a bag. He's kind of I don't explain it. Like, it's kind of like he does the job very well, but there's no pizzazz to it. Kind of like just linear.
You know, Honestly, it's funny because from tonight, he was probably the most consistent player.
I'm not dogging him. I'm saying just in general, like, you know.
There's no pizzazz to his game, really.
No. He plays hard. I like him. I like him as a player. Mm-hmm. Let me clarify that, everyone.
Yeah.
I like RJ Barrett. Not as a two, as a three.
Mm-hmm.
If you put RJ on Detroit, if you put RJ on Atlanta Hawks, he's going to do well. If you took him off of, what's his name on Detroit? Kind of similar game. What's his name? The four. J. Cole
lookalike.
J. Cole lookalike.
Oh, yeah. Tobias Harris.
Tobias Harris. You replace him with Tobias Harris. I think he does better than Tobias.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. The one thing with RJ that I give him props for is he knows how to get to the line, man. He gets contact. He gets to the line a lot. Yeah. You know, for a guy that's not like a quote-unquote superstar, he gets to the line quite a bit. Like, he knows how to drive and get fouls. You know what I mean? So, like, if you're trying to get another team in foul trouble, he's not too bad at doing that. You know what I mean? But I like I said, tonight he was their most consistent player. But I think overall, Randall, I mean, I remember we were talking about this, like I said again last week, you know, about the lack of guard play, you know, the lack of a point guard. Like, does IQ help matters if he's on the floor? Yes, because he's one of the starters. So absolutely, for sure. But in there's certain spots at the same time, you need a guard that, like, at certain points can almost be a coach on the floor. See where the energy is with the other team, the crowd's going, okay, let's run a couple offenses. Let's run a couple of offensive sets for BI. Let's get him involved. Let's get this one involved. I'll get my shots. But let's, for at least a few minutes, this is where having a legit point guard kind of comes into play, right? Because you're sensing, it's kind of like you're reading the room and it's like, all right, we got to fix his narrative and his energy to do what we're doing. And does IQ help with that? I don't know if he really does. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying he doesn't help and he doesn't, like, you know, of course, like I said, again, losing your starter, your starting guard, you know, for the first two games of a playoff series is going to hurt you. You know what I mean? But I'm like, does it translate to a win if he's on the floor in these two games? I don't know. I don't know if it's for certain. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, Mitchell and Harden, these guys are Hall of Fame guards. Like, Mitchell right now is in the prime of his career. There's very few people in the NBA that can stop him. So I'm not knocking the Raptors for being able to slow him down. Yeah, like 30 tonight. I'm not blaming anybody from stopping. Even Harden. Like, Harden is, you know, once he can get cooking and rolling, you know, even at this stage of the game, he's a pretty hard guy to stop. You know, he's a top 75 player, for goodness sakes, right? A four-man MVP. So, like, this is a hard matchup. Like, the discrepancy between the guard play in this series is massive. The size difference between these two teams, it's noticeable. You know what I mean? Like, CMB, you know, once again, we got, but he's doing a good job, man. I give him his props, man. He's playing well, but he's like 5 inches too short. You know what I mean? He's undersized. He's going up against 2 7-footers. Like, that's, and he's playing well, but, you know, like Jared Allen's just basically turning on him, just giving him a jump hook. Like, there's no resistance. You know what I mean? Because it's just a size thing. Like, him and Scotty are having to play bigger than what they are. That's, you're asking for a lot for those guys to do over the course of a whole series. You know what I mean? Especially now Mobley's gotten a little bit better. You know, like, especially since Harden's gotten there, Jared Allen's been much better with the pick and rolls and stuff offensively and crashing the boards. Like, it's tough on it's a lot, because the Raptors, when you look at it, they're not a big team to begin with. So if Poto's not playing, and Poto's, you know, we spoke about this in the last pod, like, he hasn't been the same Poto he was even a few years ago. So it makes it hard, man. It's like the Raptors are already climbing an uphill battle. So this is where execution, you know, high energy and stuff, especially in certain pockets, is it has to be like you can't miss the mark on any of these things. So when you do turn over the ball and you're not executing on shots and you're going one-on-one and you know what I mean? And all those things are happening and you're missing assignments on defense, you're flat out not going to win these games. It's just not going to happen.
No. And I'll be honest. I think one of the reasons why Raptors got in the game or stayed in the game is I think the Cavs lineups were terrible today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I just think they were.
I agree.
I think that's the only reason why, you know, the Raptors made runs is because I think they were just kind of it seemed like they knew they were going to win the game and there was let me get these guys a breather, let me get some of these other guys in just to get some playing time, and then they come back. All right, we'll put our guys back in. They get the lead. We take them out, give them a breather.
It's like they took their foot off the gas.
Yeah, just kind of they're just being. No, experimental with lineups, I felt. And the Raptors were holding on for dear life, just doing anything they can to stay relevant. But you said it, I was going to say it after, but you touched on it with size. I mean, second chance points, right? Turnovers and second chance points for this whole series is going to be our nightmare. You know, and the other thing is when they're hitting threes, we're hitting twos. So even when we're making our runs, there's always kind of, like you said, we're never that 10-point lead seems to be common theme throughout this series so far. So always around 10 points lingering, right? And then it's like they come back, you know, another three, they miss a two, turn over the ball, another three. You can't keep up with them. Then it's a second chance point. They miss the three, rebound, put back, and one. Yeah.
It's tough.
You know, and again,
like even in this series, like I feel like somebody like Trace Jackson Ellis has to Trace Jackson Davis has to get at least a few minutes.
True.
You know what I mean? Just for the size. Like you just need to get some rebounds and some putback points.
Yeah.
Just that energy. And hopefully in game three he gets on the floor.
I thought about good call. I forgot about him. He could have played today.
Yeah. Yeah. They need the size. Like he needs to play. Like you can't leave Scottie Barnes to play. And I mean, mind you, he's a great defensive player, but you can't leave him to guard Harden. And then go guard, you know, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen at the same time. Like, you're asking for a lot, man. That's a lot.
Is Poeltl injured?
You know what I mean?
Is Poeltl injured?
I don't think he's right. I think so. I don't think he's right. I think his back is, like, still kind of, like, messed up. And he's needed in a series like this, too, when he's healthy. He would make a difference, but.
Well,
you know, like right now his energy is missed as well. You know what I mean? So I should say two starters because I'm saying one, but you know, because the IQ, but two starters really.
At three, because you know? Ingram was a shell of himself today. I mean, I'm getting on him today, but something was up. You can see it, right? Like that's an off game. That's some injuries or something's lingering.
Well, let's talk about it. What was your thoughts on the three stars? Like on the three, you know, the best Raptors players, the three-headed monster that we have for this team. What were your thoughts on them these first two games?
Who's the three-headed monster? who the stars on? What, Barrett?
Barnes, Barrett, and Brandon.
Again, they all occupy.
Let's at least focus on tonight.
Yeah, I mean, tonight, Barnes was good, right? I think, you know, he did what he can do in the context of how he plays, right? He was strong inside. You know, when he brought up the ball, it was, you know, he was going full speed, you know, try to change pace, catch him off guard. RJ, like you said it, I thought he was really aggressive on the glass, which we needed. I don't know, what he put 8-9 rebounds, you know, 5 assists. So obviously he wasn't just jacking up shots, even though he was. That wasn't just the context to the game. He played a lot of minutes, he did what he can do. We got nothing from RJ and really nothing from anybody else really meaningful. Well, you know, I'm trying to think who else. I gotta look at the box score. CMB. I mean, I had a big game. Jacoby Walter, I keep forgetting that. Yeah, Jacoby, you know what? I'll give it to Jacoby. Jacoby played solid. He played solid. And actually, over the last quarter of the season, he's really stepped it up. The one thing about Jacoby, though, is for him to stay on the floor more, he has to get stronger. Like, He has to be a quote-unquote 3-and-D guy. He's probably our best in-game three-point shooter, right? But he has to get stronger because he's the type of guy that if he can start guarding the Hardings of the world and, you know, and the, you know, slow down into the Mitchells of the world, he'll help us like more than he is now, right? Because I think that's the sore spot for me is his defense. He's not a bad defender, but it's I just feel like he needs a little bit more strength. I don't know.
And he's young too, right? How old is he, like 21, 22, something like that? Like he's a pretty young player.
Yeah, I mean, what so he's still,
second year, the infancy stages still.
Yeah, but I mean,
and it's funny because. Sorry, go ahead.
I don't want to trade him, right? And looking at what we have, like you know, the fact that I'm talking about other players is showing you what our quote unquote big three are doing, right? I mean, you know, from a box score perspective, you know, they did what they had to do, right? Like, you know, 22 and 26, right? I expect that, right? Something, you know, a combined anything within that range of, you know, assist and rebound ratio of around 10, which they both did. I mean, they played well. I mean, they, but for guys that played, you know, 40 minutes a game, I expect that, right?
Yeah.
You know,
You make a great point. They played well. Like the role players played great tonight, really and truly. And again, to your point, if you watch the box score, if you didn't watch the game, you watch the box score, you're like, yo, these guys played all right. But really and truly, again, like Scotty Barnes having 26, that's a good night for him. And that's a really good night for him in terms of scoring, really and truly. But he only like he had 4 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals on the block. You'd ideally love to get him more boards. You know what I mean? Even everything else is probably all right. But like I said, if you look at the box score, you're thinking, yeah, these guys are successful. But we watched the game. You watched the game. Like he was successful in moments. It wasn't throughout the whole game.
Who's that?
And I think that's I would say collectively all 3 of them, but RJ being the best. Like, yeah, I think RJ was the most consistent. You know what I mean? But I'm like, again, looking at the stats here, because RJ had 22 and 9, like at 5 fouls. But again, like he left a lot of it on the floor. You know what I mean? So I give him his respect. But you sent me a clip earlier today about it's aggregated with the Paul Pierce, Danny Green and Tony Allen clip where they went crazy on BI because he was talking about how he didn't get enough shots.
Correct. Right?
And you know what? I totally agreed with the clip. And this is what we were talking about in the previous pod, the State of the Raptors address, where we're like, I kept saying, I'm like, I like Brandon Ingram, but he's just not that guy to me. He's not. And there's a certain mentality you have to have. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, unless you're going to be Jimmy Butler and you're going to flip the switch and all of a sudden you're going to go from, I'm going to get you 20, 21 to now I'm going to get you 25 to 30, 35. I'm going to match up with what Donovan Mitchell's doing tonight. Like, unless you have that switch, I mean, a lot of times this is who you are, and he doesn't have that switch. He doesn't. I think about it. In the first 6 quarters of this series, he had 15 shots. In the first, you know what I'm saying? Like, for your number one scorer, like, that can't work. And tonight, looking at the box score again, what did he have? He went 3 for 15. I mean, we know that's a terrible game, but even 15 shots is not enough.
No, not from your guy. I mean, Scotty had 19.
No.
But you know what the other thing is that I'm looking at too is, I mean, I look at this stat as a coach more than anything, right? And I know some people say it's not the telltale, you know, and mean all, but plus minus. Like Scotty Barnes was minus 17.
Yeah.
In 40 minutes. You know, Ingram, who I didn't think he played all that much. Now I'm looking at, you know, played 36 minutes. I mean, that's, you know, we needed him to play a little bit more, but 36 minutes is still hefty lift. Negative 15. Like, come on, man. Yeah. We need more. That can't happen. You know, RJ played almost 40 minutes and he was minus 9.
Yeah.
Disappointing. I mean, Shed played 38 minutes. He was plus 1. Holy shit. Yeah,
he barely broke even. Like those plus minus scores, those are great scores if you're playing golf. Not great scores when you're playing basketball.
No, no.
Not great scores.
No, what I'm looking at, you know, but like, you know, I don't the only silver lining is we come back home now.
Right.
And now what happens, see? Do we get swept or we take one at home at the crib?
Well, I mean, obviously game three is the must win. You can't win game three, the series is over.
Yeah.
I and I'll be honest, I wanna be optimistic. You know what I mean? I wanna see the Raptors go ahead and win. But just based on what I'm seeing for these first two games, the Raptors are not, they're gonna be lucky if they get a game. And the only thing I think that saves them, you know, going forward is if by any chance they really feed off the energy of the crowd, because, you know, I'll say this again, man, Toronto's got one of the best crowds, especially playoff crowds in the NBA. It's not even close. Mm-hmm. They are crazy. You know what I mean? And I know we have this, the notion, you know, the stereotype being from Canada, we're nice. We're this. Listen, man, playoffs is a whole different animal. Like, if you've been to playoff games in the ACC or Scotiabank Arena now, it is wild. It is wild. The energy is wild. So I think the role players are going to feed off of it. Is B.I. going to feed off of it? Is the other thing. Because I think the energy guys, the guys like Scotty and stuff, they're probably going to feed off it too. It's like a sixth man on the court for them. You know what I mean? Like, especially in the playoffs. But are they going to take advantage of it is the big thing. Excuse me. Is somebody like Mitchell going to be fazed by that crowd noise? No. You know what I mean? He's probably still going to, he's going to probably be hyped to shut him down. Right, like if you let them execute, especially because I'm thinking what's going to happen is the first quarter is going to be that push, that wave. You know what I mean? If you can withstand that and still execute, keep that game close in the first quarter, I think the Cavs probably take this out. But I think it's all, the whole thing is execution and taking care of the ball. Like, this is the playoffs. You can't, and this is where, to your point you made earlier, this is where the point guard is paramount. The guard play is paramount. Like, whoever's running the offense, you cannot turn over the ball. Like, that is, it is, possession is so important in the playoffs. So if you're not going to take care of it, again, like with the way the Raptors are playing, and I don't know if Quickley's even coming back this series, and I don't know what's, you know what I mean? Like, if,
I don't know. I heard he was close to coming back.
So maybe he might be back for game three. Doesn't look like it right now, but he might be back for game three. But either way, how this works is you have to, like, right now, you cannot miss a step. Everything has to be in perfect lockstep right now. You know what I mean? Like, you, if anyhow, anything is slightly off, you don't have a chance. Like, everything has to execute perfectly at this point right now. And it starts with energy, high energy, taking care of the ball. You know what I mean? You're going to have a tough time rebounding. You're going to have to gang rebound a lot of times. You hope Harden maybe starts missing some shots. You know what I mean? It doesn't start looking like the 2018, 2019 Harden. You know what I mean? Like this is where execution and high energy is at play. But again, B.I. does not look good in this at all, man. Like, anyhow he goes, I mean, he went 3-for-15. Even if he goes 7-for-15, his three or four more shots or three or four more free throws, this game might be a little bit different. So I'm not putting this on him, of course, because I felt like even when the Raptors got it down to six with like 4 minutes to go, I still didn't. The energy didn't feel like they had a shot to win the game.
No. I mean, this next game, it's gonna, like you said it, the home crowd is gonna help you come out the gates with that boost. But it's all about sustainability. Right. Even if the Raps come out swinging in the first quarter, second quarter will level out because now everybody's kind of calmed down. Energy kind of level sets. I put up the three because the third quarter is what makes and breaks games. Right. Especially for the Raptors. I didn't even look at stats, but I can tell you they probably lost every third quarter in the series. Maybe, actually, no. Today they came back. Maybe they came back in this one. But I know the first game it was. Then, you know, It was bad. But I would think that the third quarter, they did come back a little bit this last game. Fourth quarter, they tend to kind of and try to do something, right? Make that push. But they need scoring. They need shooting. I'm going to keep saying it over and over. They need – like, there's sometimes I'm watching the game, I'm like, how the hell – I'm looking at the box scores sometimes. Like, how the hell are they going to, like, keep up with this? Even if they shut them down on D, who's scoring? Who's gonna carry the load on scoring? They don't have one guy that can drop 30 a night. They don't have a Mitchell or Harden or, you know, even the third option. You know, let me look at the box score now for them. Who had 25? Mobley?
Let me see. Mobley, yeah, 25.
See? They had three guys, see?
Yeah. You went 11 25. For 13, too.
Fuck me. Three guys.
Yeah.
A third option scoring 25 in a series?
On 11 for 13 shooting.
And we lost by 10?
Yeah. Jesus. And again, they lost by 10, but it, to me, the game didn't feel that close. It just didn't. Like if you look at, again, if you're box score watching, you're like, yo, Raptors had a shot. If you looked at that game, it just felt like Cleveland controlled that whole game. To your point, it just felt like Cleveland, when the Raptors came back, they took their foot off the gas. And then they just revved it up again, like right after the timeout. And it went right back up to like 11, 12 points in like less than a minute.
You know what's interesting? You know, so, yeah, I'm looking at this, right? So today you had three guys that basically got all your points, right? I wonder if the game plan is okay. Mitchell's always going to get 30. What if the game plan is I'm gonna concentrate on Harden and Mobley, and I make other people beat us. Like the rest of the guys are just shooters, right? Like if you look at it, like Sam Merrill, Keon Ellis, Max Strus, Jalen Tyson, like those guys are like shooting guys, right? They're guys. They jack up threes.
Yeah, but it's just the problem is Mitchell takes up so much attention. You know what I mean? Like he's gonna score, and once he starts driving, he's just gonna attract defenders. You know what I mean? Like Strus, the last game I think he had like 24. The last game, right? And a lot of it was the guard play.
But I'd rather Strus drop 24 than anybody else.
And Mobley, yeah,
right. I'd rather take the ball out of their hands. I mean, I don't see Strus dropping 24 a night in a series, right?
But it's funny because even with Allen, like Allen, you look at the stats. He didn't have a quote unquote great game, but he caused a lot of foul trouble. You know what I mean? Just by running in the paint. You know what I mean? Just posting up really quick on anybody. Like a lot of times he just got guys in foul trouble just from that alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like in the playoffs, this has an impact. Listen, to me, at the end of the day, doesn't matter like how the NBA is going to get over it. You know, we always talk about like, oh, it's 3-and-D. You got to spread the offense and everybody's got to shoot threes. You're doing way more running. In the playoffs, the game slow down. You know what I mean? Like getting to the line or getting another team in foul trouble is important. It's gonna happen. Like you gotta touch the paint. It's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I thought Cleveland had a better time controlling the paint on both ends as well. And just even from simple things to that, not even so much scoring, but just the presence, both offensively and defensively, just the presence. Like that's enough damage. Like I think the Raptors got a lot. They got a lot of work to do. I'm faithful that they can win game three. And you know, like the next episode of this, it's a much livelier conversation. You know what I mean? Like it's like we're hoping it's to that effect, but
or somber.
They got a lot of work to do.
Or somber. Right? Or somber. Or it's just like you know the dreaded bell is ringing. The bell of death, right? You know
Undertaker.
Undertaker, yeah. Done. Like I mean, listen. No one thought they were going to win you know, it doesn't matter who they played. We all were like, man, they're not going to win the first round. But it would have been nice to see them go out at least, you know, in six or seven, a good fight, yeah. You know, so there's promise for next year. And there still is promise.
You can build on that. Yeah, but you can build on the fight. You don't want them to get swept.
No, no, no. But they just don't got that. They don't got it. Even got that kind of tough, like that fake tough guy. They don't even, nothing about the Raptors scares anybody. I hate to say it as a Raptors fan, right? Like, even like there was a moment in the game when I think it was Shed was on the ground and RJ ran up and kind of pushed someone out the way. It's like, get out of here, man. Like, no one's scared.
Yeah. And which is crazy because teams usually punk Cleveland in the last couple of years, especially their bigs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, even Cleveland, even Jack was saying that. Jack was saying something like, you know, they're not really a tough team, not known to be good defenders, just make the Raptors look bad, you know? Like, come on, man. Can't go out like that.
Man, is it? I know LeBron's not playing for Cleveland no more, but geez, like the aura just feels the same, bro. It doesn't feel like we have a shot.
No, different aura. Because
it's a better shot. The results are the same right now, though.
The results are the same, but what was interesting about that LeBronto era is that the Raptors were a better team. They were the favorites, right? Yeah. Cleveland was terrible. It was just LeBron. And it was always down to
the last year. In 2018, not the whole time. Not when Kyrie
Come on. I'm talking about the last year. Yeah. That one, because that really solidified the LeBronto that last year where we hit that.
It really did.
That on, what was it? Ananobi? I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is an aura. There's like Cleveland just laughs at us. Right? And then you listen to.
Which is shameful. You ever been to Cleveland? Yeah. You shouldn't be laughing at nobody, bro.
Who is it that made fun of Cleveland city. That one time? Who is it that, what's his name? Joakim Noah?
Joakim Noah.
Yeah. What's in Cleveland?
Yeah, man, this town can't be laughing at a top three city in North America, top four city in North America. Oh. You shouldn't be laughing like this.
No, basketball, it's crazy. They don't rate us. Basketball rise, they don't rate us. They're just laughing at us.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, respect to the Raptors not being totally healthy, but it's just even like I said, but even with those guys there, maybe it's a better series, I think. But I think the result, it might still be the same.
They were never gonna win.
We
were talking about, because weren't they supposed to play the Knicks initially?
They came closer than the last day because Brooklyn sat all of their, basically they put their whole G League team for that last game. They ended up getting the fifth seed. But honestly, Randall, like just based on what we're seeing now, they wouldn't have a shot against any of the top four.
No,
because see what the Knicks are doing now. There's no way we would have had a shot at that. You see what Boston did yesterday. There's no way we would have a shot at that. We might have maybe had a shot at Detroit, maybe. But Kay would have ran wild.
I think on one of our podcasts, I said Detroit. But I will say this. I kind of was sleeping a little bit on Boston. Boston looks like a monster right now.
Yeah.
Like, they look good. And San Antonio looks good. Like, I watched that game last night.
Yeah. But what was your thoughts before we wrap? What was your thoughts on Wemby's first performance in the playoffs, I should say?
Wemby?
Damn.
Two ways,
and he only had five boards. He only had five boards, too.
Wemby's a monster, man. You know what?
He's in trouble.
He just changes the whole dynamic of the game. Like,
he's so active.
You can't drive in on him. He can block 3-point shots from freaking the foul line. And on offense, man, I think he wasn't getting as many boards because on offense, he's taking threes and hitting them. You can't stop that C. He just shoots over you. It's like I'm playing my daughter. Even though I'm not hitting shots, I can get him off.
There's no resistance. The hand in the face is coming here. It's not even like Tony Ayo. It's here. You can't even see where the hand is.
It's hit him in the nuts. Pause.
It's crazy though. Like I think that was probably one of the more enjoyable performances that we see. And I mean, there was some good play, like in at least in some of the games, because I enjoyed that Minnesota Denver game. I was locked into that one too.
That was a good one too.
I know they're about to play just now as we're about to wrap, but like that was a good game. That's going to be a nice series. New York seemed like they're pretty much handling Atlanta right now, but again, Atlanta's got a pretty good future. But yeah, I mean, Wemby's, that performance was just, man, that one where he, well, two of the plays, the one where he went end to end around the back, you know, throwing the bag at Avia and then spun off him. I was like, wow. I even said, wow. Wow. Like he did that. And then the other one where he got the ball and he pretty much ran to the corner and knocked that three down. That shit didn't even touch rim. I was like,
yo, you know what's real? You know what's real? See, when the bench goes nuts, like the bench is up there, like, and then you got two Hall of Famers sitting there just like dumbfounded. Normally, Hall of Famers that cool, they were just sitting there like
they're laughing.
Just laughing, like we got ourselves another one.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's so level-headed, man. Because I don't know if you heard his presser after the game, when they're asking, like, you know, with Duncan and Robinson being in the crowd, if it's like an added weight and added pressure, and he's like, he said something that honestly, he said it perfectly, and I don't want to say it verbatim, but it was along the lines of like, you know, it's not a weight, but it's like hands to guide you if you fall. You know what I mean? And I'm like, listen, man, that's a perfect way of saying it. That's a perfect way of saying it. Especially when you're the young pup and you're the young understudy.
Yep.
That is, I can relate. Trust me. It's not a weight. It gives you more confidence because you're basically following the path that's been there before.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Or, you know, so it's, or at least you get that voice of knowledge and respect. Like, I love that quote. I was like, he gets it. He gets it. Oh, shit, did Atlanta win? Oh, shit, I think Atlanta won. Never mind. I'll say New York had this. Damn, yo, Atlanta won. They came back. They 107-106. Okay, I guess we got a series there now. Damn, all right. There goes Randall's parlay.
Speaking of parlay, man, yesterday lost out on $1,500 because Eldon Johnson couldn't get five points. I did not sleep last night. Five. Did I say five?
Randall was like, yo, three. That was a big.
He had three in the first half.
Wow. You couldn't even get a bucket.
Five. That's it. Five.
That's a vacation right there.
Yeah.
That's a vacation right there. There goes Turks and Caicos. Thanks, Keldon.
There goes Miami Carnival 2020.
Oh, shit.
Oh man. I swear it's rigged.
But to wrap though, yeah, man. And I think Wemby already got the defensive player of the year, which was, I don't know if it was unanimous, but I mean, we all know that was going to happen. I don't think anybody thought he wasn't going to get that.
No, you know, speaking of that,
that was the foregone conclusion. It better be unanimous.
Speaking of that, like, and we're talking about just on the wraps. Do you think that Scotty should have been nominated at least in the top three? Stoddy had an amazing defensive year.
He did. He did. I'm surprised he didn't, actually.
Yeah, it was.
You should at the very least, you should make the first team.
It was Azar Thomas, Chet Holmgren.
Azar Thompson.
Yeah, sorry. Chet Thompson, yeah. Sorry. Chet Holmgren and
yeah.
I mean,
I thought Wemby was better than Azar. I meant Wemby, sorry. I thought Scotty was better than Azar for sure.
Yeah. Even Chet.
That doesn't seem right.
And Chet, I mean, was Chet that great defender? I mean, he's okay, but.
He was good. He definitely was good this year. But again, I thought Scotty was. I think he could have flirted with that award. You know, what I mean? Like I said, if Wemby wasn't living and breathing on this planet.
So what is he locked down every year unless he's injured to win it?
Pretty much. Think about this, Randall. Unless Wemby gets hurt. Really think about this. Unless Wemby gets hurt, this is the worst you're going to see out of Wemby. Mm. Like, unless he gets hurt, or, you know what I mean? Like, or some serious life situation befalls him. Like, this is the worst you're going to see out of Wemby. Think about it. Wemby only played, like, he only played like 28 minutes a night. He played a little more than half the game. That was the average for the whole season. Look at the stuff that he did in 28 minutes. Mm-hmm. He hasn't even gone to like 30, 35 minutes. He hasn't even, like, they're working him back to that. That's what he, look what he did already. 28 minutes. It was a little more than half a game.
Do you think he becomes an MVP at one point in his career?
I mean, he's in the top three right now, so. Yeah, I think I think he might go on that run where he wins about at least three, you know, in his career. It's like, again, as long as he can stay healthy, as long as that's even when he was coming into the league, that was the biggest thing with me. Can he stay at that size and height? You know, usually those big men don't last long. So can he stay healthy is the biggest thing. If he can, yeah, he's going to run off at least three MVPs because it looks like the Spurs, I mean, What an amazing organization, man. You went from David. This has been 35 years of just a run of stars and success. Give or take the little break between Kawhi and Wemby, but you had David Robinson, you had Duncan, then you groomed like Ginobili and Parker, and then you groomed Kawhi. Like, those guys weren't supposed to be stars like that. You know, and now you got another one. Like,
not just that, but watching the young crop of talent they got is impressive. Like, I really love Castle. Fox, I mean, they got Fox, who is he's a perennial all-star, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Castle, to me, is great. Vassal, great.
Vassal.
You know, mm-hmm. I like Champagne, right?
Dylan Harper?
Oh, geez.
He's only 19. He's a rookie. Look at him already. He's a rookie.
Like, the only thing that's going to stop him is that OKC, because OKC is that machine that keeps going, right? You kind of just are used to them now. But I think OKC got him. I mean, I think the Spurs got him.
You think they got OKC? I'm not giving that to them yet because, again, experience, number one. I don't want to disrespect a champion. And, I mean, the Spurs is the first time they're going through that. This version of them is going through, like, a playoff war, a good playoff run. They haven't been through that yet. And you got to remember, too, as much as the Spurs were taking care of OKC, I think they won three out of the four matches or four out of the five. Jalen Williams, and he missed like 50 games this year.
Right. I forgot about
that. Arnold Stein missed like 30 something, 40 games.
I forgot
Jalen Williams. You know what I mean? Like, people forgetting about that. And Jalen Williams now is rounding into shape now.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a whole different OKC team from what they were meeting in early in the year. So that's why I'm like, I'm not ready. And then their whole team is deep. Like, they can. I mean, they can go on runs with like their 6-10.
Well, they did all year.
Yeah, like, so to me, that's why I'm kind of like, I'm not ready to just give that away. But the only thing that might stop the Spurs is But they still have a ways to worry about that. It's a luxury tax, because eventually you're gonna have to pay Harper. You're gonna have to pay Castle. I mean, you know, Wemby's getting $300 million, $400 million or whatever. He's getting the supermax. So eventually you're gonna have to pay all these young guys. So that's where, you know, the GM skill is gonna have to kick in. You know what I mean? But like, they're gonna have to be like OKC in that aspect. But other than that, I mean, yeah, man, the West is historically a problem, and it's gonna remain so right now. But I think going forward again, like, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching Wemby play, man. Like, it's a joy to watch him play. And that heart and that spirit, the level headedness, man, it's great to when you have a star on your team, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, shoot, like, that's why it's hard to talk about the Raptors. It's just hard, right? You can only talk about them for so long, because what is there to, I mean, yeah, Barnes is great. After that, it's like we're just regurgitating the same thing. Like, it's like, you know, it's like groundhog.
And again, Barnes has a ceiling. A guy like Wemby, the roof is off. A guy like Shea, the roof is off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we don't, like I said, shit, even a guy like Cade on Detroit, the roof is pretty much gone. Sunroof. You could look up and see the skies.
Throw it away.
Yeah. It's a moonroof, man, at the very least. You can open that shit up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's we're missing that. It's a sober way to end the podcast, but I mean, we may as well at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is, we don't even got a real lottery pick.
Yeah.
I don't know what you could trade for, you know, and there's nothing really viable, you know, unless you strike, you hit lightning with a, you know, like a decent young player that comes back and we all expect it's something like a Quickly or RJ to just explode. Sometimes it happens, right? We change the scene and opportunity, and you're like, who the hell is this kid, right? Or just lucky on a draft pick. Like, you know, you pick something up in the second round or the first round, and you're like, oh my God, this guy is like the second coming, like, you know?
Yeah, I haven't been watching the mock drafts too tough yet, but I mean, we got, I think, like the 17th pick or something, somewhere around there, like middle of the first round, somewhere around there, like 17 to like 19, somewhere around there. Yeah. And this draft is deep, though. That is the good thing. The draft is deep. So you're going to probably get a good player, or you should get a good player, even that far down in the draft. You know what I mean? So, I mean, will he be a star? I mean, you know, that remains to be seen. But at the very least, you're going to get a good player. As long as you can draft him, you're going to get a good, like, there's going to be some good players left in that first round. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But yeah, man, I guess we'll wrap this for now, and we'll come back with game three of the Raptors Cast post game pod, man. Hopefully we got some better energy and better news.
Well,
we try to match the Raptors energy, man. So,
well, we're coming home, baby. It's coming home, baby. All we need is a one and done. That's our forecast. One and done. You know, if we could take at least to a game five, then where we are now, right? We've said what we said. And you know what? Again, I'm kind of looking forward to this offseason. So, I mean, it's not over yet. See, never know. It's like shaking up that Sprite bottle and it explodes, right? Maybe something happens. Never know. Yep. Quickly comes back and he drops 30 on him.
Yeah, man. That crowd, man. That crowd. That's the X factor. I mean, I know it's like $850,000 a ticket right now, but, you know, that's the X factor. Let's go. Ooh. Let's go, Raptors.
Thank you for checking out the latest edition of the Av Podcast, the Raptors playoff post-game pod that I like to do every time the Raptors are in the playoffs. Once again, special shout out to Mr. Randall Walter for hopping on and having this discussion on what we're seeing so far. It's not great, gotta tell you. It's not great. It's not great. But they got another chance Thursday, which in this case will be back, probably with some more guests as well for that one. And that one will come out on Friday morning. Like I said before, there's no edits. It's just straight live, honest discussions on all things Raptors. And hopefully some other playoff series as well. But as I said, thank you as always for tuning in. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe buttons wherever you're listening and watching this podcast. Make sure you go over to the catalog as well at SouthShireAv.com. Once again, that is SouthShireAv.com. Once again, new episode coming out on Friday, which will be for game 3 of the Raptors-Cavs series, the post-game episode. All right? We'll be starting the breakdown of season 2 of Daredevil Born Again next week. There's some more pods and shows coming, man. So lock in, stay tuned. I appreciate all of you. For Randall Walter, this is Cal C. And you just tuned into the latest episode of the Av Podcast right here on South Shirav Radio. All right, until the end of the week, get out of here. Peace.